We have been looking for some time on Wednesday nights in the book of Hebrews, and it has been a certain blessing to me. And I had, instead of jumping back into Galatians this evening because our trip was a bit delayed in getting back home, and just not wanting to not give it its due justice, I thought about talking about some application, if you will, on Hebrews, and especially Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And we've talked about that on our Wednesday evenings and dealt with it at length, but I just wanted to put some things in context and really examine things in a practical sense, if you will. So hopefully it'll be a blessing to us all this evening. So what is faith? Well, faith is believing in something that you cannot see. But it's not just believing, it's placing your whole self upon it, placing all of you upon something. So a good example of faith is the chair you're sitting upon. Before you sat down in that chair, you had faith that the chair was going to hold you. Otherwise, you wouldn't have sat on it. If you looked at that chair and it looked wobbly or it looked broken, you wouldn't have sat upon it. You would have chosen a different chair. But you said, you know what, that chair will hold all of me. And so you sat upon it. You had faith in it, and your faith was realized when you sat down and the chair didn't crumble underneath your weight. That's an example of faith. Biblical faith is doing that same thing, but upon the Lord Jesus Christ. It's believing Him to be the Son of God. It's believing that He came as the God-man, and that He died on the cross as the substitute for sinners. Believing that He rose from the dead on the third day to have victory over sin and over death. And even a bit more than that, it is believing that for you personally, that He will forgive your sin and give you His righteousness. That His death was for you. Not for some random individual, but for you. That's faith in the biblical sense in Jesus Christ. That's what we talk about when we talk about faith. There can be more said about it. There's a great deal that can be said about faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for." Well, the hope is not heaven. That is a hope, but it's not the hope. The hope is Jesus Christ. A hope is I'm not going to go to hell, but that's not the hope. Salvation is not fire insurance. Salvation is a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. That's who our faith is in. He is the object of our faith. And the way that we act, the way that we behave, is the evidence of those things that can't be seen. So if I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and the things that He says in the Word of God, then I will act differently in circumstances than I would have if I did not believe those things. I'll behave differently because of that. So how then do you exercise faith? Well, it's taking the application of biblical truths, of doctrine, of theology, those words that people get a little afraid of for some reason, and it's applying them to your life. And it's based upon your faith in Jesus Christ. So what are some examples of how to walk by faith, how to live by faith? What are some of the biblical truths that apply? Well, the first one is God is omniscient. Now, some people may know what that word means. Some people may not. Omni means all encompassing. And the omniscient means that He knows all things. He is the God of the universe. He's created the universe. He is above and beyond the universe. And He knows everything that takes place in the universe because He's the creator of it. He's the sustainer of it. And so omniscience means that He knows every little detail of every little thing. The Bible talks about it, that He knows the hairs of your head, that they're all numbered. That's how much detail He knows. He knows about all the insects that are crawling around on this planet. And all the undiscovered creatures in the sea that we don't know about, he knows about every one of them. He's the one who feeds the whales. He's the one who keeps all things going. He's omniscient. Not only is he omniscient, he's omnipresent. That word omni again means all, but you know what present means. He's there. He's everywhere at all times. There's nowhere you can run from God. There's nowhere you can hide from God. You go to the bottom of the sea, he's there. You go up into the sky, he's there. You go under a mountain, he's there. It doesn't make a difference. He's there. He's everywhere. So if he knows all things and he is everywhere at all times, you can start to understand how that might have an impact as to how you live by faith. Not only is that, he is omnipotent. Now, that word omni again, but then if you put on potent, that is about power, that he has all power. Now, unlike you and I, when I exercise, I am weaker when I'm done than when I started. Now, eventually, I'll get stronger, hopefully, through my exercise. But when I've done something, I get noticeably weaker. If I try and lift up my children at the end of that, I'm worn out. But that's not the way God works. God does not lose any power when he uses his power. He is the one outside of all things, and so he can do whatever he wants to do and still have power to do everything after that. And still have power to do everything after that. His use of his power doesn't lose any power, if you understand what I mean. So he's omnipresent, he's omnipotent, and he's omniscient. Now, you take those things and you apply it to what he has done in Jesus Christ. If God has given his son for you, that means he loves you. That's what the Bible talks about. God loves those whom he's chosen. God loves those who believe in him, those who trust him. If he has loved them and he has given his son for them, what do you think he'll withhold? Paul says that in Romans chapter 8. What will he not give you that is necessary for you, for your good? Nothing. He's given you the most precious thing that there is. What else is he going to stop from giving you? He's not going to give you the best and then say, "Oh, you know what? Now that I've given you the best, I'm just going to give you like bread and water for the rest of your life." No, he's going to keep giving you everything that is necessary for your good. Now here's the rub. God's view of your good may be quite different than your view of your good. We may think that ease and rest and a lot of money and a nice house and a nice car and nice clothes and all those sorts of things, we may think that's what's for our good. But God has a different thing in mind. He wants to shape us and mold us into the image of his son, to make us more like Christ. That's going to take some work. That's going to take some work on each one of us. And so those things that come into our life, no matter how we perceive them, we may perceive them as good, we may perceive them as bad. Each one of those things is for our good if we are one of God's children. And what each one of those things that is for our good is there to help us draw closer and nearer to him. And that's where these things apply. If God knows all things, then that difficulty that you just went through, God knew about it. And God, knowing about it, loved you and let it be there for you to go through. Therefore, it was for your good in some way. I'm not going to tell you what the way was. I don't know. I'm not God. I don't have his view of things. But that means it was for your good. Even though it was hard, even though it was difficult, even though it caused you pain, it was for your good. And God, who is the one who, you think about, I'm always fascinated by the image of Jesus asleep on the boat. And the disciples wake him up and say, "Master, don't you care that we perish?" And he calms the storm. Well, think about it for a moment. Jesus is the creator. Hebrews 1 tells us he is the one that holds all things together by the word of his power. That means that Jesus is the one who created the storm that the disciples were so scared of that they woke him up for. He's the one who brought the storm into their life. That's true for us as well. Storms come. And sometimes they go, and sometimes we go through them, and sometimes we go around them, and sometimes we run from them. But no matter what the storm is, Jesus, our Savior, is the master of the storm. And not only is He the master of the storm, He's the one that allowed the storm to be there in the first place for us to go through. That's what it means to believe that He's omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent, and that He loves you. These things come into our life, and sometimes we have success by faith, and sometimes we have failures by faith. Sometimes we don't exercise our faith appropriately, and sometimes we do. Now, let me be clear. The exercise of our faith does not mean that circumstances will then turn out in our favor. That's not successful faith. Successful faith is trusting God through the circumstances, no matter how the circumstances go. No matter if they don't turn out in our favor or not, as we view them. The victory is not in the circumstances changing. The victory is in the faith. Trusting God no matter what happens with the circumstances. That's the victory. So when I talk about successes and failures in faith, I'm not talking about, the circumstances turned for my favor. That's not the idea. The idea is, how did you trust in the midst of that difficulty? How did you trust? How did you exercise your faith? Now, there are many examples of faith in the Scripture. We went through some in Hebrews 11 on Wednesday nights. I'm not going to try and detail all of them to you. But I wanted to point out a few. So I'm going to list five people. And I'm going to list their not all their successes, but I'm going to mention a few. And I'm going to mention a few of their failures. Because it's important for us to recognize that the Bible is very clear and very real about what it says about people of faith. We're not perfect. We're fallible. We make mistakes. And God loves us and helps us to grow through those mistakes. So think about Abraham. Abraham's called the father of the faithful. God comes to Abraham and says, Abraham, come out of Ur of the Chaldees and I'll show you a land, I'll give it to you. And Abraham trusts and he goes. And Abraham goes and then God says, Abraham, I'm going to make a covenant with you and I'm going to give you these things. And Abraham believes and he trusts. And God gives him a new name, Abraham, instead of Abram. He has success. But Abraham, he is told by God, I'm going to give you a son. And Abraham believes and trusts. But it doesn't actually work out the way Abraham thought it was going to work out. So Abraham also has a failure. Because he thought, you know what? Maybe, just maybe, the way God is going to do this is not with my wife as I thought. So he and his wife come up with a plan and say, you know what? Let's use my handmaid over here and have a child by her. And that will work out. Well, that was a lack of faith. Now, the circumstance worked out in the sense that he had a son. But God said, no, that's not the child of faith. You were supposed to wait for me, not do things on your own. And so you see a picture of Abraham having success in faith, but also failures in faith. Now, I don't say that to accuse Abraham in any way. Like I said, we're all fallible. It's just an example of success and failure. Because it happens to us all. Jacob is a prime example. Jacob had more failures first and successes later when it came to faith. Jacob was a deceiver, was a supplanter. And he does things to earn the birthright. And those are the failures. And God still uses those things in his life for good. Nonetheless, he shouldn't have done them. He shouldn't have deceived his father. God still would have worked it out, however God wanted to work it out. But he didn't need to deceive his father. That was a failure of faith. But later on, Jacob, he calls Jehovah my God. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to worship you. You're not just the God of Abraham. You're not just the God of Isaac. You're now the God of Jacob. You're my God. I trust you. I believe you. As he runs from Laban and as he sees Esau coming towards him, what does he do? He trusts God. When he goes into Egypt, he's trusting God, that God is moving and working in his circumstances. You think of Moses. Moses, wonderful example of faith. He's doing such amazing things. He's bringing the 10 plagues upon Egypt. He forsakes all the wonderful things of Egypt to have reproach with the children of Israel. Why? Because he's looking unto him who is invisible. He's looking unto the Savior. He has success. But as he goes, boy, the Israelites really get on his nerves. They wear him down. And when God tells him to do one thing, Moses does another. And he lacked faith. He had a lapse in judgment. A lapse of trusting the Lord. David is another example. David defeats Goliath with a stone. He's a giant. He's over 9 feet tall. Everything about him. David could barely even pick up Goliath's sword to chop off Goliath's head. But he killed him with a stone. Why? Because God was there. He trusted God to do and move and work. And that is throughout David's life. But there are times in David's life where the first thought wasn't God. The first thought was himself. And he failed. He failed with Bathsheba. He failed with Bathsheba's husband. He failed at other times as well. And we see these pictures of success and of failure. We see Solomon. He had such success early on. He said, the Lord says, Solomon, what would you have? I'll give you anything. And he says, I want wisdom to rule the people. What a wonderful request. Right under the heart of God. And God gives it to him. Gives him wisdom to rule the people. And Solomon serves the Lord. And he has great wisdom. And yet, his wisdom turns to folly. Because to rule the people, well, he's wanting to make treaties with all the nations around. So he marries the daughter of Pharaoh. And he marries the daughter of this king. And the daughter of that king. And the daughter of this king. And he has multiple wives. Hundreds of wives. And he builds all those wives temples. To keep them calm and at peace. So they have all these false temples now in Jerusalem. Besides the temple of Jehovah that he built. There's a failure of faith. I point these out to let you know that your walk with God is not going to be from success to success to success to success. There are going to be pitfalls. There are going to be times where you fall flat on your face and you're wondering, how can I ever get up again? How can I show myself? And you're going to need to ask for forgiveness. You're going to need to dust yourself off. And you're going to need to be humble. So in that vein, I wanted to talk about our recent trip to the United States. Because in that trip, I think there were some successes and failures of faith, at least on my part. Not going to claim anybody else, just going to talk about my own self. So before we left, we had to get tests, the COVID tests done for the fit to fly. And it was one of those things where they were right down to the wire whether we were going to get the results back in time or not. And I trusted that if the Lord wanted us to go, they'd come back. If he doesn't want us to go, they won't come back. And I didn't have any concern whatsoever. And it was a success. At the same time, it was a bit of a failure. Because I thought about it and I said, it's costing us more than it should have. Because we delayed it too long, and that's going to cost us, and it's going to make it difficult in other ways. And thankfully, even though I had a lack of faith, God saw fit to give us a refund on half of the money that we had to spend for those tests. He was moving and working for our good, despite my lack of faith. I knew that if the test results came back in time, wonderful. If they didn't come back in time, okay. That's fine. I'm going to trust them nonetheless. But I was really not happy about the money situation. But the Lord moved and worked, despite my lack of faith. On the way, I think we had a good time all the way until we got to Frankfurt. The Frankfurt airport, on the way to the U.S., that was definitely a failure on my part. At first, we were going around and we were all calm. But as the day wore on, when things didn't happen and didn't happen and didn't happen, I certainly got cross. I got cross with the airline. I got cross with the airport. And that flowed over to my family. And I was snippy with them. And that was a failure on my part. Because I had had faith that the Lord was going to, we're going to get there eventually, when the trip started. So why did I then get snippy with people? That shouldn't have happened. Because the Lord is still the one in control of the situation. He put me in that situation and then made that delay happen and made this Frankfurt airport seem so disorganized and unmanageable. And why would that cause me stress? That was a storm that He put in my path. I should have said, Lord, teach me what You want to teach me through this storm. But instead I got cross and wasn't looking to Him. It was a failure of faith. We got there. We eventually made it to the United States, thankfully. And we had some good times in Philadelphia. And then we had my mother's memorial service on the Saturday, the first Saturday. And that was an instance of, I think, success in faith. Because I was trusting God to give me the words to say about my mother to my lost family, to those siblings and their family members. To be impactful and clear about the gospel and its effect. And I think that the Lord gave me strength to do that. And the gospel was proclaimed very clearly and very soberly to them. And I feel that that was successful. We had some good times and we were on our way from one destination to another, and we ended up going through Lancaster, Pennsylvania, the Amish country, which is beautiful, really, really beautiful area. And that was a failure because I was a bit cross because we were taking such a big detour when we were on the way to my brother's house. And I got cross again and I got snippy. and I didn't react well to things. It's one of those things that I wish I hadn't done. And I apologized. I think I apologized. If I didn't, I apologize. It's one of those things that you wish, why did I lose sight of what's the important things? Why did I lose sight of what the Lord does in our life? When I reached my brother's house, I then got the worst cold I've had in at least 10 years, maybe 15 years. And had to work through that and preach through that and do all sorts of things, seeing people that I knew. If I didn't see them at that moment, I wasn't going to see them. So I still had to do things. And I said, Lord, just give me the strength. If I can do it, help me do it. And He gave me the strength. And eventually, I made it through all those things that we wanted to do and see and people that we wanted to be with. And then collapsed when we finally got to a place where I could collapse for a day. And it was one of those instances where the Lord really gave strength. He gave success in that midst of that illness. Because it wasn't that I was doing something in my strength. I was doing something in His strength. And faith was a wonderful support to me. And then we were there visiting my father-in-law. And we ran into some difficulties. And we started out, we were supposed to take the test to come to fly back on a Monday. And so this is an instance of success and failure all at the same time. We were supposed to start off and take that test on that Monday. And Jennifer went to book the test on the Saturday night, but the card failed. Because they needed a U.S. address because it was going to cost us $140 per person to do the test. And the card wouldn't work. And so we said, okay, we'll go to the pharmacy tomorrow in person because they're open on Sundays. Well, by the time we got to the pharmacy the next day, the pharmacies were closed. So we had to wait until Monday. So, okay, that's not a problem. We could probably just walk in and get the test done without a problem. So we go to the pharmacy on Monday and no, we can't do it there. No, we have to go to a different pharmacy. We go to a different pharmacy. And eventually found out that we had to book it online anyway. And I thought, well, what are we going to do? Because our card won't work because it's a UK card and they need a US address. I thought, well, we'll just ask my father-in-law. Ask him to use his card and I'll give him the money. So, oh, wonderful. He says yes. So I sit down to book it. And we can't book it on Monday. We have to wait till Tuesday to book it. But in the meantime, we find out that starting on that Monday, the US government made it so that the test cost nothing. It didn't cost us anything. If we had actually booked it on Saturday night, it would have cost us $700. But because we booked it on, well, tried to book it for Monday, it didn't cost us anything. So the test was actually scheduled for Tuesday morning, and we were all going to go. But at this time, Jennifer has gotten the cold that I had. And it's just as bad for her, if not worse, than it was for me, because she gets a sinus infection. And all these things are happening, and we have to exercise faith. Well, if the test is on Tuesday, and we're supposed to fly by Wednesday, but you only get one day to get the test back, well, that's not very much time. Because they say it's 1 to 2 days to get the test back, but we have to go. So faith says, if the Lord allows it, the test will come back in time. If the Lord doesn't, well, then we'll go another day. And that's okay. And I was fine with that. That was success. We end up getting the tests on Tuesday, and we have a little bit of stress here and there, but we have a nice day on Tuesday after that, and we get up Wednesday morning, and we're rushing about getting everything done, get the boys their second vaccination, we're rushing, and we get to the airport. No test results. Okay, that's all right. The Lord is in control. If we miss the flight, He'll have His hand upon us. And I trusted. And so we're on the phone waiting for the airline to answer the phone. They're not answering the phone. So I said, you know what? I'm going to go into the front desk. And I take Isaiah with me. And we go in there and we stand there and we talk to this lady. Well, we don't do that much talking. But she's on the phone. And what should have cost us $200 a piece to change our flights from that day to the next day cost us nothing. Didn't cost us one penny. And wow, the Lord is blessing. He's watching over us. There's that success, right? And so I get back in the car, and I change the car so that we get the car the next day as well. And we hand it back in, and that ends up, we get $50 off of that as well. So this is great, right? But then we decide, okay, where are we going to spend the night? And that, for some reason, becomes a hitch in all those wonderful things. Because somehow or other, that became a stressful event. For me and because maybe it was because of me, for everybody else. Somehow I lost sight of all that God had just done. And we're driving all over the place for hours, trying to figure out where we're going to spend the night. But God is still gracious. We end up spending the night in the same hotel we spent the night before. And when we go in to check in, the lady has trouble finding it. She finds our reservation that Jennifer made when we finally decided we're going to stay at night at the same hotel a couple hours after, when we're all now cross and upset, mainly because I was cross and upset. And the lady says, yeah, boy, you guys have had a tough time. You know what? I'm going to give you my discount. So she knocks $30 off the price. And she says, you know what? I'm also going to give you an upgrade so that our room was two beds and a sofa couch, you know, a sofa bed. Well, she said, now it's going to have an extra room added onto it. And so there's an extra bed. So Jennifer, who's feeling really miserable by this point, is now in a separate room where she can rest without any noise or any interruptions. And the rest of us can be in the other room. And the Lord is watching over us, even though I was cross for 2 or 3 hours for no reason whatsoever. You see, there are successes and there are failures in faith. That we're fallible people. And the hope is that we grow. Right, that we grow and we keep moving closer, and those failures get smaller and the successes get bigger. Not that the circumstances churn out the way we want them to, in spite of the circumstances. And so we had a nice time that evening, a few of us, and we go to the airport the next day, and everything's working smoothly. We get on the plane and we're going. It's all smooth sailing until we get back to Frankfurt again. And I wouldn't recommend the Frankfurt airport, at least from our experience, but it was a nightmare getting through Frankfurt. And I won't go into the details of it, but guess what? I lost sight again. And I was cross, and I was cranky because of having so much travel time in there. And I failed. I failed in faith. I failed to see that God was watching over us and was putting something in our way to test. And I became cross with the airline, and I became cross with the people around us, and I became cross with my family members. I shouldn't have been. It was a mistake. It was wrong. Because I lost sight of my Lord. In the moment, in the circumstances. These things are happening. We're still human. We're still in need of encouragement from one another. Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. We need to encourage one another. We need to remind each other of who we're trusting. And not that we're trusting that the circumstances will go in our favor, but we're trusting someone who overrules all things. And if the circumstances aren't in your favor, then he's doing it for a reason, to teach you something, to help you grow in faith. So that when this next storm comes on the horizon, you can say, you know what? Boy, that looks like a doozy, but I know the creator of the storm. I know the one who can remove it if he wants to. I know the one who can give me the strength to go through it if he wants me to. He can also move me out of the way of it. He can do any of those things. And I'm going to trust him no matter which one he chooses. That's why the writer of Hebrews in chapter 10 says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." And that's what we need to do for one another. You know what? I'm going to have more failures in the future. I wish I wouldn't. I wish I didn't have another failure from this all the way to glory. But I'm not that foolish to think that I'm that perfect. And so I need help. I need help from my fellow believers to say, "Chuck, don't take your eyes off the goal. Don't take your eyes off of the one that saved you. Keep your eyes on him." And if you'll allow me, I'll do the same for you in the midst of those things. To say, don't take your eyes off the one. Because guess what? Most of the time, we're not going to all fail at the same time. We're not all going to have the difficulties all at the same time. And so you might have one, and I might not. And then I might have one, and you might not. And we can encourage one another and build one another up in the faith and help each other continue to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And that's what living by faith is all about. It's not the circumstances working out the way we want them to. It's the circumstances don't matter. Because the one that does matter is in control of the circumstances. And that those very circumstances are there for our good, to help us to grow, to help us to walk by faith. And that's what faith is all about. So when you consider whether you have faith or not, what is your faith in? Who is your faith in? If it's not in Christ, then it's in nothing. It's in emptiness. And then if you do, then what is the evidence of your faith? Are you walking by faith? I hope that you are, and we point you to Jesus tonight. Amen.